2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read a few verses and then pray together. And I hope you'll listen very carefully. These are some powerful, powerful words in this epistle, and so I hope you'll hear them. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 says this: Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So obviously he's writing to you through the Holy Spirit of God, because you have obtained like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness of God, not your own. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And here's this phrase again, we've already read it twice before, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please help us tonight. These are powerful words. These are great and deep truths, Father, in your word, that you gave to a simple fisherman who came to know them and embrace them, who under the inspiration of your Spirit wrote them for our learning and admonition. May we hear them and may we heed them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to look again at verse 8. You'll notice the Apostle Peter is inspired to write a very interesting word. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word I want you to notice in particular is the word abound. The Greek word is pleonazo. It's not to be confused with another Greek word also translated abound in other places in the New Testament. Now, the reason why I point out this distinction is that the full statement of what Peter says in verse 8 and of the meaning of the word abound, including in the English, makes absolute perfect sense as to what the apostle was teaching in this great text. Verse 8 says, if these things be in you. Well, what things? All the things that we just read earlier, the previous verses, you'll see them. Patience, godliness, kindness, temperance, knowledge. If these graces be in you. Well, obviously then, if they're in you, you're an amazing person. If these things be in you, you're an amazing human being. If I could get a character report card and it said Jim Blaylock, virtue, check, knowledge, check, temperance, check, godliness, check, brotherly kindness, love, check, check, if all of that was definitely in me, as the Bible says, or let's say the angel Gabriel came one night many years ago and announced, Jim Blaylock, someday you will have a son, and by God's grace, he will have in him. Imagine God telling you, coming to you and saying, little Desmond, he is going to have in him kindness, knowledge, self-control, love, patience. All these things shall be in him. If he announced to me that that would be my son, I would be thrilled, wouldn't you? Now, unfortunately, I'll never know. But if it did happen and I did have a son like that, all these things within one child of God. Think about this for a moment. What more could you ever hope for? For sure, it would be good enough for me. And yet, what does the verse say? Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, pleonazo, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's nearsighted. He's myopic. He hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. By the way, the last part of verses 8 and 9, see those words, barren, unfruitful, blind, forgetful of God's forgiveness? Do you know that's the description of the person we all know identified by a single word? Bitter. That describes the person in this room or in any church who is bitter. And Peter says, a person who is bitter may have had in them faith and virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. I think Saul in the Old Testament had most of those at one time. But he died a bitter man. So that bitterness is the result, potentially, of having all of these things in you, but not what? Verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they're in you because by virtue of the fact that you're a child of God, but they didn't abound. It is the meaning again of this word abound that intrigues me, that's so wonderful, powerful to me. Both in the English, in the Old King James, and the Greek word that makes all the difference between Christians who change, grow, and get better, and Christians who are merely getting more bitter. In fact, I want you to picture throughout this study an idea. It is the idea of critical mass. Now, critical mass, as I understand it, is a term from the world of physics, but it applies not only to physics, it applies to other areas like sociology and medicine. At least it's been pulled from that. In physics, critical mass, as you know, is the smallest amount of fissile material needed to sustain a nuclear reaction, if you will. In other words, here you have some fissile material, and you add to that some more fissile material being atoms that are split, okay? So radioactive. And you add that some more, and you add some more, and you add some more, and you add some more, and then pretty soon you get one of those alarms, meep, 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 and the flashing lights, and you add some more. Finally, you reach what would be considered critical mass. And of course, that's the point where dramatic and sustained change occurs. Same thing is true when that phrase refers to sociodynamics, public opinion, for example, on marriage. Has this added to it, and this added to it, and this added to it, and it begins to change and change and change. And it'll continue to change until one day it reaches a critical mass. And then it becomes part of public policy for the so-called common good. As you know, today, for example, DOMA was ruled unconstitutional by this unbelievable Supreme Court 5-4, which, for the changing of public opinion on marriage, has probably reached in this society critical mass. That's the socio-political use of that phrase. And it's the negative side. The positive side I want you to think about is exactly what's presented in this text. You see, the goal for every child of God is to change. The goal is to become more and more like Christ, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There are people that I have known for 40 years who've been saved for 40 years who are no better Christian today than they were then. There are, sadly, some believers that I've been pastoring, ministering to for 25 plus years. 27 years it'll be this coming July 4th weekend. That sadly, in some areas of their lives, are just as carnal. I'm one of them. While at the same time, there are those who have changed dramatically. Not just the outward, but their spirit. So that instead of being bitter at all, they have become much better, more virtue, more temperance, more patience, more godliness, as the text says. Until once critical mass is reached in that or a certain area, this person doesn't just have patience in them. It was in them. But now, because they added and they added and they added, and it abounded, as the Bible says, they reached a critical mass and they changed.
Miraculously, they change so that now they don't just have patience in them. People look at that person and say, that person is patient. This is the Christian who doesn't just have some kindness in them, but abounding, they are known for being kind. It's who they are. It's what they are. It has become their testimony, their reputation, their very identity. They don't just have moderation, but their moderation is known unto all men. They're actually famous for it. It is a sustained nuclear spiritual reaction. Look at verse 3. Let's get back a few verses. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, folks, that is an amazing, amazing text. The Bible says that you are a partaker of the divine nature. That doesn't mean that you're God like some Deepak Chopra drivel or Yoda's, you know, the force is in the rocks. You are the force, the luminous, whatever he said. We're not God. That's not what Peter says. But we are born of God. We are partakers of the divine nature. So that as a child of God, these things be in you. And, as we just read, last line of verse 4, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world. Wow. So we come back to this word abound. Because there are Christians who can sit under teaching and preaching for 20 years and not change. They can read their Bible through every year and not change. There are believers who are just as selfish, have no brotherly kindness, have no patience, no temperance, no more than they had 10, 15 years ago. Why? These things were in them. If these things be in you and abound and continue to abound, then there's a time, there's a place, there's a process, a miracle as a partaker of divine nature. Pleonazo literally means to add. That's what the word abound means. It just means to make more. That's all. So you see, the difference between better and bitter is not a matter of adding this whole giant boatload of more patience or temperance or godliness in a week or a month. It's literally just adding more. And why is that so powerful? Why is that so effective? Because, folks, by adding what you have in you, by listening, and we're going to see this later in the scriptures, by listening to the simple commands of the word and what Peter taught about milk, bread, meat, by adding, you periodically, in those different graces, reach this critical mass, and that changes your entire character. That's what God wants you to do. Looking into the mirror and the image of Christ and becoming more and more like Him, not your old self. Some of you, no doubt, have heard the folks in media use the phrase tipping point. You know, they'll say in the news, gas prices may have reached a tipping point. Global warming is going to reach a tipping point. Taxation will reach someday, apparently, a tipping point. And the reason they use the expression is that Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book. And all of media love this book. It's called Tipping Point. In the book, he talks about how social issues reach critical mass. And especially through media coverage, it's just adding and adding and adding and adding until they suddenly have a permanent shift, sort of like water that reaches a boiling point. You know, just 1 degree more, you get it to that place, and it will boil and continue to boil. And so he says, if you get to a tipping point with abortion or marriage or guns, then it's a great shift. It's sort of like when John Morris used to go cow tipping. Once you get the weight a little bit over, the whole cow, by its own weight, falls over. Well, again, this is the gist of what the word abound adds to this amazing text. It's taking the graces that by God's grace are already in you and simply adding to them, adding behavior to your belief over and over again until the fissile material, if you will, reaches this critical mass so that now it makes you, this is what the text says, it makes you so that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to get very practical, show you why some people get better and other people get bitter. Think about the Apostle Peter himself. Here was a man who wrote this and who was a work in progress. The Apostle Peter was a man who was impetuous, as you know, shot off at the mouth. He didn't exactly, early in his life with Christ and ministry, exhibit all of these temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And there was a point, as you know, when he was bitter, weeping bitter tears, and there was a fork in the road there. God used this man to write the deepest truths in the Scripture. Every Christian in this room has in them the old man and the new man, just like Peter, and therefore you have the potential for both courage or fear, edifying other people or tearing down and gossiping about other people, patience or impatience, anger or love. Qualities that Peter himself had at both ends of the spectrum as well. So the question is here, which do you add? Which of the material are you adding into your life? So that coming out of your heart and out of your mouth, is there more encouragement than there is gossip? Is there more of the one than there is of the other? That's the key. It's adding. He uses the word add a lot. You see, everybody in this room gossips. I gossip. I gossiped about you when I was stuck in traffic for 2 hours. I'm just kidding. I really didn't. Everybody does. Everybody at times are negative towards other people, finding faults, magnifying flaws, pulling the mote, as Jesus said, out of other people's eyes. We have flesh. We are prone to denigrating others because of our pride and our wicked hearts. But you know who are the ones who get the victory over that? Because some of you in this room have gotten the victory over that. Those are the ones who learn to encourage just a little bit more than they discourage. They add a little bit more of what was in them, their brotherly kindness, their patience, the grace. I do a lot of marital counseling, as you know, and in all marriages, there is a temptation and there is a tendency to be hypercritical of the other person. You know, we're fault finders. But guess what? Even where a criticism is present, I've learned with married couples that when there's more encouragement, just a little bit more of that than there is of the other, those people change and it becomes a major shift. That energy, if you will, of being the encourager, brings about a major shift in that person's character. Every person I've ever known who developed a full-blown critical spirit, as it's called, started off with just being a little bit more critical than they were encouraging. Show me a young person who's just a little bit more negative, just a little more than they are positive. And that young person, when they're 80, full-blown bitter, unhappy, because they disobeyed the basic premise of this text. They started off with just a little more of the negative. And you know, ultimately the flesh, the cold part, will win the battle if you do that. So I challenge me and all of us tonight to do something. I challenge us to add, as the Bible says, add to your faith all of these things. If they be in you and abound, that means keep on adding them. A little more encouragement, a little more patience, a little more mercy towards other people and brotherly kindness, verse 7, and keep on adding it. Well, Pastor, I already have brotherly kindness. Well, of course you do. You're a child of God. The love of God abideth in you. You are a partaker of the divine nature. But if these things be in you and don't abound,
If these things be in you and abound, it's there, and you add to it, and you add to it, and you add to it more of the kindness than you do of the meanness that we all have. Then it says, there's a painting in my office, a print of a roadway or a path. It has a shining light at the end of it, and I saw this a while back over at Kirkland's, and it went on clearance, so I got it. It reminded me of a favorite scripture. One that I had someone put the scripture, make a little plate and put it on the print itself. The scripture says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now you talk about critical mass. But notice what Peter says in the text. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, he's talking about Christians. So what Peter is teaching here is the light of Scripture as though it were the rising sun, more and more light until the full dawn. And folks, that's the dynamic of the Christian life. It's called sanctification. It is a daily constant process of adding. It's growth, enlightenment, adding, victory. But Pastor, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He didn't say that. Jesus did not say that. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In other words, nobody arrives. Even when you reach critical mass in one area, it's still sustained power and growth. You keep adding that material. The bitterness comes, and the barrenness, the coldness comes when you simply stop. When you stop. When you say, "Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and I'm free, and so I can do whatever I want." And you stop adding. For whatever reason, apathy or pride, distraction, worldly pleasures, something has led you to stop giving all diligence to your spiritual growth. Look again at verse 5. And beside your salvation, being a partaker of the giving all diligence, add. You know, the Apostle Peter, ask yourself, am I giving all diligence? Or have I reached a plateau? You know, I was saved, I went to Christian school, I went to Bible college or whatever, maybe you didn't, you've been saved, and you reached a plateau. Are you still giving all diligence to add? The Apostle Peter, when he was inspired to write this letter, in part was fulfilling the Lord Jesus' command to him to feed my sheep. Remember that? After the resurrection, Peter, I said, was at that kind of fork in the road. I go a fishing. Literally, I'm going back to fishing. He was broken. And by that water, he built a fire and fed them. And he said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs." 3 times Peter denied him. 3 times the Lord gave him the opportunity to affirm his love for him. And the only thing he told Peter was, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs," the word of God. And this that you're reading tonight is in fulfillment, in part, to that very command. And folks, the theme of everything this apostle is teaching in this great book is summarized in the very last verse of 2 Peter. Look at it, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow. Grow in grace. And this term again, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Yes, beloved, grow. Add. Giving all diligence. Add. And keep on adding. A little bit more of this than this.
And keep on adding, because ultimately it will reach a critical mass and make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a lot of Christians in this room to do precisely what the text says. All of us. Stop splashing around in the shallow end of the pool with your water wings and get out there in the deep and giving all diligence. Stop accommodating a carnal heart and a carnal mind and being satisfied that I'm better than the Christians at that church down there, because I know what they do. But God hasn't called us to be better than the Christians at that church over there. He has called us to be like Christ. To become the encouraging and kind and temperate and courageous and contented believer that God calls us to be. Critical mass. You know, this world needs some atom bombs in Christ's church. And a lot of Christians are content to being a sparkler. You see a sparkler, you'll see them in a couple weeks. They look good, I guess. But they don't affect any change. They're here and they're gone. And then you see what a sparkler looks like when it's over. It's just a black stick on the ground and in the dirt. Talk about barren and unfruitful. God is calling us to be powerful in our lives. Every day, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. One of our senior saints told me a couple weeks ago, he said, Pastor, I want to finish well. I love to hear that. Not satisfied. Think about this. This miracle of being a partaker of the divine nature, the power, this spiritual growth that you're supposed to do from the moment you get saved until the moment you see Jesus, either he comes back or he takes you home. This growth is a joint project between you and your God, between you and the Savior. You're not a speedboat that you control alone. If anything, you're a sailboat. You need his power in your sails, and you man those sails. You do what you're supposed to do. The lion's share of that effort is simply making sure that the things that are in you, by the grace and the miracle of salvation, those things abound. Because you give them attention. You add to them. They abound and reach critical mass into a great reaction of sustaining change, real interchange in your heart and character because you added. We used to sing a chorus in Bible college, and I used to weep. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Don't be satisfied, beloved. Don't be apathetic with where you are in your Christian walk. I'm not at all. I know that I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I'm not even a bag of chips. I'm not even that little lunch-sized bag of chips. Spiritually, there is so much that I need to add. And you know what? He deserves more. He calls us to more. He paid for more. And for his glory, we should just give all diligence and become more. Sometime this week or tonight, read those virtues that it says to add. Read them. And see if you're giving all diligence to continue to add, because if you're not, notice what it says will happen. Bitterness and barrenness, even to that believer who stops adding to their faith. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we are convicted and blessed and thankful to read in your word that there is this miracle of being a partaker of the divine nature, that all of these things are wrapped up in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all of these virtues. He was brotherly kindness when he walked on this earth, and love and patience
And I pray, Father, that we will walk in his steps, that we will grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. And in so doing, Father, may all of it reach a critical mass that changes our very heart and character in great and powerful, miraculous ways. Give us testimonies here at Beacon Baptist Church of that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Fellowship, it's early. God bless you all. You're dismissed.